5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. What is that, Willie Donick?
I was forgot. Well, turntable. Run DMC.
Willie turning into a DJ in front of our
DVD,
very eyes.
Run DMC.
Yes.
Yeah, the computer was squeaking along the surface here, almost like your basketball shoes. You have a good defensive slide going. You hear the squeaks of the court.
It is not quite
the same thing.
It is a great sound, but not when you're trying to introduce the
show.
Really
not a great sound.
Well, the squeaking of the shoes is a great sound.
The sounds of the gym,
yes.
Very good sound.
Yes.
Sounds of this, no, not so much.
Well, we are live at the brand new Circa Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky, just over the Tennessee-Kentucky border. We are so thankful for them having us out here today. A wonderful setup. The grand opening is Saturday. This coming Saturday, August 23rd, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., the address, by the way, 5629 Nashville Road, Franklin, Kentucky, 42134. Here are some of the giveaways that Circa Sports is doing if you come to the grand opening. Here's the coolest one. 4 lucky winners will win a stay at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas when the Tennessee Titans visit the Las Vegas Raiders in week 6, October 12th. So if you come to the grand opening event this weekend, you could win a stay at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas for the Titans-Raiders game at Allegiant Stadium in week 6. So we're looking over the sports book now. Huge screens, all of the odds up on the board.
It is first class.
Uh-huh.
It really is.
It really is. So we are thankful for Circa Sportsbook for having us out here today. So yesterday we ended our show talking about the Indianapolis Colts' decision to bench Anthony Richardson and start Daniel Jones. And at least according to Colts head coach Shane Steichen, this is a decision for the season. This is not Daniel Jones will start week 1 and we'll go from there. The plan is for Daniel Jones to be the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts this season. Of course, subject to change, but that's what the coach said. Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated wrote a column about this with the headline, "The NFL will learn from the Colts' mistake of drafting Anthony Richardson." With the subheadline, "With the news that Daniel Jones will start week 1, we can expect teams to learn their lesson about picking raw, traits-first quarterbacks too early in the draft." Connor Orr writes, quote, "In the way that Urban Meyer and Matt Rhule completely soured the league on college head coaches for a period of time, Richardson will undoubtedly change the way we look at raw tools and low reps in college quarterback prospects. The revolution of experience is upon us, thanks to a forever open transfer portal in college. Richardson, like Trey Lance before him, will have to make up the learning curve as a backup." Connor Orr continues, "If the 2024 rookie quarterback class becomes the gold standard it appears to be after one season, the story will be that Jaden Daniels played in 55 college games before being drafted at age 24. Bo Nix played in 61 and threw nearly 2,000 passes at Oregon and Auburn before getting drafted by the Broncos. Richardson and Lance had 43 games between them in college and a mere 711 attempts. The Titans avoided this by drafting Cam Ward, who started across 5 seasons for three universities, 57 games.
57 games.
57 games.
And he's not 25,
and
right?
He's
that's
not 25.
That's important too, because so he's still at an age where you would think he still can grow some.
Right. So do you both agree with the premise of Connor Orr's article that the NFL is now going to steer clear of drafting quarterbacks like Anthony Richardson, who, look, Anthony Richardson has all of the tools, but did not have enough college experience, and it showed in the beginning of his NFL career. So do you agree, Willie, with Connor Orr's argument here that the days of drafting the traits first quarterbacks is over?
Well, D-Mace is going to have a different view of this, but and so I think I will stop short of saying yes, this will be the trend. If another Anthony Richardson comes along, his athleticism and tools will be always hard to resist for scouts. But I do think it's going to change what people are advised to do at the college level and not come out early. Although D-Mace has made this point, and he's going to make it again, about whether this is a success or failure for Anthony Richardson. The NFL does not have, and I point this out so often because when you're looking around and not seeing enough good quarterbacks, there's no minor league system that a quarterback can go. Anthony Richardson would have been the perfect guy in Major League Baseball to draft with the same tools and then bring him along a slow track, Class A. Let's see if he can hit the Class A curveball. Let's see if he can hit the Double A and move him up accordingly and not throw him in there until he's ready. That's the track that he should have been on. Same thing with hockey when you have a developmental system. They don't have that in the NFL. So now, where does he play? How does he get better? If he needs to play to get better, where does he play? Is he going to play in the USFL? Or the UFL, yeah. Whatever that is?
No, I mean, here's the thing. He could go there, but he can't.
But he's not affiliated, exactly. Not affiliated with the NFL, absolutely. So what does he do? He just sits there and waits until somebody puts him in a game somewhere or the Colts release him. What do you do?
Here is, because I don't think the question is, have the NFL learned from Anthony Richardson? No, the NFL hadn't learned. Because if they had learned, they would have never done it. Again, the NFL and these GMs and these owners, it's all about, oh, you say I can't do it? Watch me do it. Give me that quarterback that only played 10 games. Yeah, he has all the talent in the world, but he hasn't been developed as a quarterback at all. But give me him, and I'm a developing. Watch and see. He has all the tools you need to be a big-armed elite quarterback. Watch me get him to be that guy. Then this happens. This isn't the first time this has happened in the NFL, and it won't be the last. It may not happen next week, next year. It may not happen a year after that. But I guarantee you, this is a guarantee, it will happen again. It's the NFL. It happens in NBA. It happens in the NHL. It happens in MLB. Yep.
Drafting on tools.
Exactly. They are going. No, you can't resist. It is so tantalizing to just watch Anthony Richardson in college some of those games. And I'm like, wow, look at what he can do. All the while not understanding that this kid hasn't developed. And it's going to take him a long time to develop. But Anthony Richardson did the right thing. He left college before anybody realized that. He may not be the quarterback we thought he was. Now you're in $30 million, probably a little more than that, because that contract is guaranteed, as one Robbie would say. Guaranteed that contract it is. So he's not going nowhere, no matter what anybody says. Anthony Richardson, unless a trade comes, and if somebody trades for him, that answers your question, Adam. If somebody trades for Anthony Richardson, that answers your question right there. They're going to keep on taking shots at quarterbacks like this, at players like this. Hell, the Titans took a chance on Femi. It's the same thing. Different positions, but it's the same thing. You're taking a chance on someone that hasn't played the position in a long time. If you look back at all these quarterbacks over the last couple of years, and this is what, you know, I think student athletes are going to have to start deciding. And maybe Manning, the way the Mannings are doing it is perfect. You need to stay in college to develop now. You just need to. Because, I mean, these kids are – They're rushing you into doing, you know, something. And then if you are within the first five picks in a draft, 9 times out of 10, you're dealing with a coach that is on a hot seat. And what happens when a coach is on a hot seat? He's going to expedite the development. And he's going to rush you into a decision. He's going to rush you into a place you don't need to be. There was no way Richardson should have been a starter last year. His rookie year. He should have never been named the starter his rookie year. But he was. Why? And he continued to be named the starter the next previous season. Why? Because Shane Steichen was on a hot seat. And he needs a hit. And he needs one bad. Hence why they went and got Daniel Jones and paid him, like Jensen said, paid him $14 million. That wasn't to sit the bench. They knew that Anthony Richardson was done. Like, he's not the guy. So they had to cover their you-know-what. No, seriously. They had to cover their butts. Bringing in a $12-14 million guy that has failed in New York, the team that drafted him. But you bring him over for $14 million after you just drafted a quarterback 2 years ago in the fourth overall. Everybody needs to be fired on that team, I mean, in the coaching staff.
So Connor Orr writes this, quote, Richardson did not, in terms of, let's see, did not what? Play significant time in college. Richardson did not and now has to take on that time as a period of self-development untethered from the structure and resources of being QB1. It's not necessarily fair. Again, even Chris Ballard acknowledged the risk upon drafting him while knowing how chaotic and fragile his tenure would be, forcing a speedier developmental arc, but it is undisputable. This is a cautionary tale no longer because all NFL teams have been clearly warned. Richardson will not be the last traits first quarterback selected, but he may be the last for a long time that is taken both in the top five and in lieu of a quarterback who doesn't force a team to use its imagination.
We discussed this concept with Malik Willis first and then with Will Levis, yeah, because when you are not QB1, you don't get the reps in practice. And then when the season starts, and for Levis, he was playing behind, and Malik Willis, they were playing behind Ryan Tannehill. So how do you, quote, develop? You're standing over on the practice field. You're getting a couple of reps. You're running the scout team. There's not much you can do other than study, but anybody could study, right? You need to play to get the reps. So there is no fallback way to develop quarterbacks. It is a huge flaw, and many people, it's kind of like, hey, figure it out. Mm-hmm. The strong will survive. But so it really the same thing keeps happening over and over again in the league, and the league never does anything about it to try to set up a better developmental system for everybody, not just for the quarterbacks, but especially for that position.
And I think that's why the Titans chose to take Cam Ward, is because in their mind, he's played enough games where they've seen a development in him.
57 college starts across five seasons.
And just look at Jackson Dart played a lot of games, I believe. And I'm just looking at this year.
Well,
Jaden Miro played a lot of games. Yep. Shedeur Sanders, he played a lot of games.
Jaden Daniels.
Bo
Nix.
And you can go down to Dylan Gabriel played a lot of games.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm getting at with these quarterbacks. I think they're going to start to understand that maybe, just maybe, I need to stay in school a little bit longer to develop, because if it doesn't pop for me the first season, I'm subject, the way the coaching hiring and firings are in the NFL now, I'm subject to be one, you know, in a position where I'm dealing with, you know, two head coaches in 2 years or three offensive coordinators in 2 years or 3 years. I got to deal with that. And then, I got to try to develop. And what if I'm not developing? They're going to sit me on the bench. And then how am I going to develop? So I think guys coming out, they need to think about all of this stuff, if indeed they want to have a long career. Now, if they just want to strike while the iron's hot, go ahead, get in the draft. Because if you're drafted in the first round, that top 10, your money's guaranteed as a quarterback. And there's nothing anyone can do outside of you getting in trouble. You're going to get that money. That's why I said that everybody that had a hand in drafting Anthony Richardson needs to be fired, because he's there. You can do nothing with them.
But you had Connor Orr and people like him. I don't know specifically Connor, but I listened to his podcast a lot. I don't remember them squawking before Anthony Richardson played, saying, oh, they better not play Anthony Richardson. He needs to sit for at least a year. Nobody was saying that. What they were saying, the narrative was, hey, they got Shane Steichen. Mm-hmm. He knows how to put in an offense that's going to play to his strengths, and it's going to be Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts-esque. And as you pointed out yesterday, Jalen Hurts was way more advanced coming out of college than Anthony Richardson, and it did not work. But Steichen was brought in and brought Anthony Richardson, hey, create the Philadelphia Eagles offense. And everybody bought into that. So nobody was saying, hey, wait a minute, you shouldn't do this. Look at what happens. In hindsight, it looks like it was disaster waiting to happen. Here's the other thing that I wonder about. Because, A, the Colts are not willing to sit there and say, well, even if we lose, let's play Anthony Richardson, let him go through it. That's the only choice we have. We don't have a Triple-A team in pick a town in Bloomington up the road. We don't have a AAA team. So our choices are to let him rot on the bench, collect his money and not play unless Daniel Jones gets hurt, which could happen, or we play him through it, even if it means we stink this year. But Shane Steichen is clearly saying, I'm not doing that. I'm going to get fired. Mm-hmm. So it also has you running around in this rat race where you're spinning the wheel and you're screwed either way, right? Shane Steichen is in trouble either way here because his alternative is Daniel Jones. But he feels like that's a better alternative. What does that say?
Craig on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com, says, now that college athletes are getting paid in college, why not say, hey, you can't enter the draft until you've been out of high school for 4 years?
Well, the NBA's been through that, right? I think in a perfect world, you would do that.
You would, but you can't.
And they still have it to where you can't. You have to play 3 years.
Yeah, well,
they're lucky to have that.
You have to be out of high school for 3 years because some guys red shirt.
And I don't know how that holds up in court. Like, in theory, that shouldn't be any different than a basketball player.
Yeah, they can't.
Or a baseball player.
I don't think any, especially the way it's going now, no one is going to demand that you, like, make it a mandatory that you stay 4 years. They're just not going to do that. You can't hold an individual back and not allow him to work, essentially. That's what in their minds, you're stopping me from earning, you know, more money than what I'm earning here.
Here's one thing, D-Mates, I want to ask you, what from afar. Like, we're not in there every day. We're not covering the Colts. But it dawns on me that if Anthony Richardson had an incredible work ethic, because this is one thing that as when Cam Ward struggles, they always fall back on, he's going to be in there at 5 o'clock the next morning working at it. That was what they looked at and justified throwing him in there with, like they've done, with a bad roster, not a lot of great wide receivers, you know, losing team, not having an identity. They were like, you know, the kid's going to work. He's got the mindset. He can overcome that. Does Richardson just not have that? He got, like, I think internally, I wonder if people sort of looked right away and said, ooh, maybe he doesn't have the desire to work on the weaknesses, get there. Like, there's not a belief that he'll get there, right? They kind of wrote him off, like, he's not going to get
there.
I
think there are probably a few things going on here. One, what happened in the game when he took himself out. Yeah, I think that put a stain. That put a huge stain on his character, football character, I'm saying. His willingness, his toughness, his anything that you know, would cause someone to think, you know, this guy, he's not made for this. I think that one moment right there had a lot of people in that building saying, he may not be the guy. And then as you see him play, there's one thing, I think, to make a mistake here and there. But when you start to make, like, I'm giving you the, you're not recognizing the same things over again. And then you almost get your own self decapitated because you didn't read the easiest thing in the world. That was the easiest blitz. They showed that blitz. It was like, I saw that blitz yesterday. That's how bad it was. Everybody in the building saw that blitz yesterday. And the only person that didn't see it was the person that was supposed to see it. And that was the quarterback. And then that, too, I think they were like, you know what?
Tipping point right there.
Not only isn't he an accurate passer or he isn't quite what we thought, he can't even read the basic fundamental things in a defense. He can't even see that guy standing on the edge and that hot route running out there. If you paying any attention, you like, man, let me dump it out there. If I'm quarterback and I'm looking right, I'm like, oh, I'm scared. He can't figure that stuff out. He just can't.
One texter says, you're making this more complicated than it needs to be. The better quarterback won the competition. Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than Anthony Richardson. End of story. When the number...
Daniel Jones is a cast-off.
Yes. A reclamation project.
Yeah.
When a reclamation project, who was cast off by his previous organization... Remember they had
him they benched him.
Well, remember they had him running scout team defense.
They cut him
right before they cut him.
Right,
yes. Right before they cut him.
So the Titans could have had him, and anybody could have had Daniel Jones last year.
But
when the Vikings took him,
when a player with so much promise, the tools that Anthony Richardson possesses, when a player is with all of those tools is drafted as high as Anthony Richardson was, and he flames out spectacularly, there is going to be fallout, which was Connor Orr's point, that teams might be, for a short period of time, Derek doesn't seem so convinced, but teams will be scared off from drafting quarterbacks like Anthony Richardson because of what happened with the actual Anthony Richardson. So that's the point. But yes, when it comes to this quarterback competition, Daniel Jones was better, and that's a problem. Not for the Titans, because they're going to take advantage of it, but for the Colts.
Now, the Colts can also sit there and go, Sam Darnold was a cast-off, and look at Sam Darnold now. They're hoping that Daniel Jones is the next Sam Darnold. We would never have said that about Sam Darnold last year. We never could have foreseen what happened with him.
Don't you think, again, it goes back to the NFL and the headline on the article that was written, the NFL will learn from this, so to speak?
Yes.
No, they won't. They drafted Trey Lance before. They should have learned after Trey Lance. And he was a high pick.
That's a great point.
That is fair.
He was a third pick in the draft.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on Anthony Richardson and quarterbacking around the AFC South. It's an interesting group of quarterbacks. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, the big update out of Titans training camp practice today. Legarius Sneed, he was on the field. He has been activated from the physically unable to perform list. We will get back into that, plus an update on his legal situation. We will discuss all of that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live from the brand new Circa Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky, just over the Tennessee-Kentucky border. Took Willie and I roughly 35, 40 minutes to get here. Derek took about 45 minutes, so a quick drive from Nashville. If you are a sports fan, you need to check out the brand new Circa Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall right here in Franklin, Kentucky. Before we get to Legarius Sneed, let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bubba from Bellmead. Bubba, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I use that term very loosely, but I'm a fan of Bill Parcells. I think he's one of the best coaches, and he always said, you know, we look at, from a quarterback standpoint, we look at basically two things, and I think Mace kind of geared in on this. One is accuracy, and the other is able to read defenses. And when you only, you know, when you only play 20 or 25 games in college, I mean, there's no way to evaluate that in any sense. And so, you know, what the Colts did, I mean, they drafted a guy that has a lot of talent, was able to run with the ball, is fast, and everything else, but again, was he able to really read defenses, and was he an accurate passer? And in both situations, based on at least last year, no, he wasn't. So, you know, I don't know what you do with him now, because like Willie said, what are you going to do? Put him on the bench and let him, you know, carry the clipboard? It's going to be kind of frustrating for him. So I don't know where he gets the opportunity to step in and get some experience, unless Jones just absolutely fails. So other than that, that's just my comment. I agree with both what Willie and Mace said.
Thanks, Bubba.
Thank you, Bubba. Listen, there's nothing they can do with Anthony Richardson right now. The contract that he has, it's all but guaranteed. I mean, he signed a four-year deal. 21 signing bonus, 33 guaranteed, and an average salary of 8.9. So that $33 million is guaranteed to him. So you're not going to cut him unless he does something egregious. And if that happens, then you could try to void the contract. But he doesn't seem like that type of guy. He just isn't who y'all thought he was from a player standpoint. Now, listen, the young man may develop a little bit more, but it's hard to see in the next year or two that he would develop enough that it would justify you taking a chance on him at the fourth pick in 2 years ago's draft. So they're on the hook for him. Will other NFL teams make this same mistake again? Yes, they will. So don't worry about it. It'd be coming to what they say about the movies coming to a theater near you. Near
yes.
you. It's going to be coming to a theater near you or a draft near you in about 3 more years. I guarantee you somebody will take a flyer on a guy that is basically a development at the quarterback position.
The big news out of Titans training camp practice today, Lajarius Sneed was a limited participant. He has been activated from the physically unable to perform list. He spoke after practice, said that when the lights come on, you'll see a whole different Lajarius Sneed. He is, quote unquote, very confident that he will be available for week 1 against the Denver Broncos. Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com has an update on Lajarius Sneed's legal situation. From Paul Kaharsky, quote, Lajarius Sneed's felony charge for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon will be reviewed by a grand jury in Dallas County, Texas on September 25th. That jury will decide whether to indict him. Sneed told Kaharsky earlier in the day that he did not have a feel for whether he would be indicted. Kaharsky continues that Sneed said he had, quote unquote, no concerns about the legal situation, which also includes a civil case. He told Kaharsky he has severed his relationship with, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, to Conze Warmack Williams, who Carrollton, Texas police said Sneed was with when shots were fired out of their car at an auto dealership on December 6, 2024.
You severed ties.
What's so funny?
Yeah. I mean, he did the right thing. He did the right thing by severing ties. Yeah, by saying that. You want to get yourself as far away from that right there. And he did exactly. So I don't blame him. But now it's all of us. You severed ties and all this other stuff. And it wasn't my fault. I get it. You did what you needed to do. But it's just funny.
The quote was, I do not associate with that dude anymore. End quote. Not to make light of the situation,
man.
Which is a serious allegation, but he does not associate with that dude anymore, quote unquote, from Lajarius.
When did he stop associating with that dude? I'm glad he doesn't, but I wonder when did he stop associating himself with that dude?
Kaharsky says that Williams' LinkedIn profile still identifies him as Sneed's personal assistant.
Well, Sneed can't do anything.
I mean,
about
who
that?
Updates their LinkedIn that much these days, you know? When was the last time we updated our LinkedIn pages?
I ain't even got one. I don't have one.
Yeah. Lucky you.
I deactivated mine years ago. So
Lucky you.
Don't we also find it, you know, it's nothing new, but the grand jury's not even hearing this until September 25th. That's a long way away.
Yep.
In theory, you could have this settled. What we were talking about in the summer is you would think behind the scenes, you'd have to weigh heavily. Mm-hmm. Unless you didn't feel like you did anything wrong, making this go away completely would be heavily on the on the table, right?
Yes.
So September 25th, you get the grand jury. Maybe you wait and see. If he doesn't get indicted, I don't know what happens to the civil suit could still go forward, right? This could be lingering in the backdrop for a long time. And you've got the physical problems going on as well. So there's a lot on his plate.
But what will the league do?
That's a good question, too, because they don't even need a conviction.
Yeah, they don't need a conviction.
If they thought you were out of line.
If they thought that the people you associated yourself with committed this act. And here's the part that I'm like, okay, I'm glad you did sever ties with them. But when did that happen? Did you sever ties with them when allegedly the bullet came out of the car on the driver's side? Did you sever ties once you heard that bullet leave your car, allegedly? Did you sever ties then when you went back home? Did you sever ties 2 weeks later? Did you sever the ties when all of this came out of the open? When did you sever ties? Or was it just now you've severed ties? And either way, to me,
the story
is
the
best.
Does not make it clear.
Exactly. Either way, you know, in the big scheme of things, if you did it yesterday, then great. Get him out of your life. But to me, if it says if you're saying you have no issues or you're not worried at all with what's going to happen moving forward, then why did you have that guy around you anyway? You know, it doesn't make sense to me. That's all. I hope this doesn't become an issue, because I think the 28th is good for the Titans, because they get at least, if he could play first game of the season, they're getting at least 2 to 3 games with him before this even starts.
So I believe the date was September 25th is when the grand jury is meeting. The Titans will have played 3 games by then.
So you'd have played 3. You hope that he played all 3. And then if there is an indictment, what does the league do from there?
Let's go to our friend Mark in Nashville on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Mark, what's up, my man? Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, Adam, Willie, D-Mace?
We're good.
Adam, you know, when you introduced me, Adam, you know,
I'm
you
sorry, the
frowned.
Self-proclaimed number one caller on 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, but you know, Adam.
The GOAT.
Take proclaim out of it now, because, you know, I am number one caller, 102.5 The Game. Yes, Cromwell. Tom Cromwell. Y'all need to be listening to me.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're moving across state lines today, too. We're in Kentucky, Mark, so the people up in the bluegrass state are hearing you.
Yeah, I know. I want the people of Kentucky to hear me, too. I got me an agent, Mo Findlay. I'm ready. I'm good now. Yeah, I'm ready.
What you got, Mark?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, y'all were talking about Snead. Anytime you're talking grand jury, that's not good at all, D-Mace. I don't really know too much. I've never read too much about that situation. It doesn't sound too good, but you're right. Anybody he had to let go of, you got to let go of immediately. You can't wait a couple of weeks later. You got to let them go immediately. It may have been a situation where he should have let them go from the first place. But I hope he does get back. It's been a long time since we've seen Snead play and stuff. So I hope he's in game shape and they could come out there and produce and help the Titans on defense. But the Anthony Richardson deal that y'all were talking about, Chris Ballard should have been fired a long time ago. Steichen made that move because he know he's on the hot seat. That's why he put Daniel Jones in there, and he didn't want to ride with Anthony Richardson, because Anthony Richardson was supposed to be the Jalen Hurts of that offense. That's what Steichen was hoping Anthony Richardson could be. But D-Mace, I mean, it was really – the cards were stacked against him a long time ago. He didn't have 12 starts in college. Man, my granddaughter had more starts playing softball last year than he had in college in softball. I mean, come on now, man. They you know what? I remember when Steelman wanted Anthony Richardson to be a Titan. Come on, man. He's just – best thing for him to do is ask to be traded and get on out of there. That situation's never going to work. I don't even think they would go back to him, even if it didn't work with that. But – with Ursay's daughter taking over. And, I mean, you got Jonathan Taylor. They paid some money, too. He hadn't produced in a while. This is what Wisconsin backs do. They fade out early. And he hadn't been producing like he should. But I'm going to say this before I go, Adam.
Okay.
And Willie, this is going to make you happy, Adam. Cooper Flagg is a generational talent.
He qualifies.
Now
you're just sucking up to me, Mark.
No, I'm not sucking up to you. Oh, I suck up to you.
He hasn't played a game in the NBA yet.
Yeah, I know, but he is a generational talent. Adam, I watched him in the summer league. The man's going to be great. And, I mean, look, they're not going to miss Luka. I think they're going to be a better team without Luka Doncic, because Cooper can do things that Luka couldn't. He can play the defense. He can rebound. He can pass the ball. He can do a lot of things, man. And I'm not trying to suck up to you, Adam.
I know. I'm just giving you grief.
I know. I just wanted to make you happy by saying that. Willie, before I go, I didn't get to finish the other day. They need to take that contract they gave Soto and give it to Kyle Schwarber. He's hitting almost 50 home runs, Willie. Soto can't hit a breaking ball, and he's hitting home runs with the bases empty. I'm sorry, Willie. They're done. They're cooked. It's over. Number one call, as always. Cromwell, right. Y'all listen to me now. I'm talking to you.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Look, Mark gets his stuff in.
Digging the
knife. He covered L'Jarius Sneed, Anthony Richardson, Cooper Flagg, and Juan Soto, all in a matter of moments. That's why we love Mark from there.
He was right, too. He was right on just about all fronts. Yeah.
I can't come back with anything on Soto right now. He's... We need the big moments.
I'll give you a couple of minutes to think about it. 615-737-1025. Your reaction to L'Jarius Sneed being back on the field. He said, quote, "When it's time for them lights to come on, you'll see a whole different L'Jarius Sneed." Do you believe him?
Is he going to practice?
He says he's very confident he will play in week one. Do you believe him?
There's a lot of time between now and week one.
Indeed.
I want some practice.
615-737.
We're talking about practice.
Not a game. Practice. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, the game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are live at the brand new Circa Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. A roughly 35-40 minute drive from the center of Nashville. The grand opening ceremony. Well, they had the ceremony today. The grand opening is Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. So be sure to come on out. It's a great place to watch sports and not far from Nashville. So we highly recommend you come on out to the new Circa Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall here in Franklin, Kentucky. Talking L'Jarius Sneed. He has been activated off the physically unable to perform list. He practiced in a limited capacity today. He is confident he will play in week one. How confident are you? I will tell you this. Hair Metal Henry on our text line, driven by WilsonCarandyHundy.com, is not very confident. He says, "I give it 3 weeks and Sneed will be back on the milk cartons in the Titans cafeteria." Justin in Greenbrier says, "If Sneed makes it on the field and plays the game at even a mediocre level, then I will be absolutely shocked."
Well, it seems like not many people are, excited or expect Sneed to, play much, even if he does, even if he is ready for the first game of the season. It just seems like people are anticipating him to, get hurt. And I understand why. You brought a guy in that was managing an injury, and then he gets injured, and he comes back, and he's still managing the original injury. So what does that mean moving forward for the Tennessee Titans? Will you be able to get more out of him in practice?
I wonder if they changed the program. Have they talked about that? That would be my question for the staff and for Sneed. Have they had a discussion, now that he's off the PUP, that the program that they were on before is now going to change, that he needs to practice more? He's got to be rusty. Showing up and playing at Mile High Stadium without practicing and just doing the program he's been on,
hurt again.
It doesn't seem like it's going to work.
I
don't know all the ins and outs of the issues with his knee, and he did have another procedure on it, so that's on top of everything else that he's been dealing with. So I know he's probably not the same as everybody else, but at the same time, you've got to have something, right? And from a team bonding, team chemistry situation, it just doesn't seem like it's workable to say, yeah, you're going to be working on the side field. You're not really going to be practicing. Even being in the meetings and everything, it's just not the same as going through practice with all the guys, all the boys.
I think the next 2 weeks are going to be critical in, whether Sneed is going to be able to practice or not. Because they're going to have to get him up to speed. I'm not talking about from a defensive standpoint. I think he knows the defense. But even with that, knowing the defense and actually being out there with the other guys, the other 10 guys, and communicating that defense is totally two different things. You being out there helps the communication. You not being out there but knowing the offense, knowing the defense does nothing for us. I want to see him get in there the next 2 weeks where he's finishing practices. I don't want him to, he only started with warm-ups and, he didn't do no team, he didn't do no one-on-ones, and you're talking about, going into the final week before the season starts. If he's not practicing full go a week before the season starts, then there's no reason to expect that he would play the first game.
Mike on our text line, setting the bar even lower. As long as he can walk from the locker room to the bench, that's enough for the game in Denver.
No, it's going to be more. It's going to be more than that. I know you're probably just, you know, saying that with tongue in cheek, but he's going to have to prove. Because the secondary, honestly, with how they have looked, I like Brownlee. I really do. But outside of Brownlee, they need him out there. They need.
They could use
him.
Yeah, they need. But you can't blame them for trying to proceed as if they're not going to have him.
No,
right?
I get that part. Believe me, I get that. Hey, listen, I can't unless you're out there. I if you're not out there, I can't prepare. I got to prepare as if we're going to go in the first game without you. Until you get out there consistently and practicing consistently and can put in days after days after days, because that's what it's about. It's not about, oh, practicing a day here, taking a day off, and then practicing. No, you got to be able to practice consistent days. We got to know if we practice you hard on Wednesday, can you come back out on Thursday and give it a go again? If you can't, then you're not ready.
Al says, if Snead is healthy all year and plays up to his ability, our defense could look drastically better than last year. I just am afraid he won't be able to get back to the level he played at with the Chiefs. Ben says, I understand we have a lot of issues with cornerback depth, but we don't need him as a franchise. The coaches and GM need him for their jobs. Your thoughts on that?
I don't think they need L'Jarius Sneed for their jobs. They just need a team play well. Now, if L'Jarius Sneed comes back and he's playing well, then great. But honestly, the last I saw of Sneed, and listen, I'm just being honest here. It's no slight to him. I'm not trying to say he's a bad player or anything, because prior to him coming here, he was a damn good player. And I think it's still in him. But the last time I saw him, he was getting toasted. He was having a bad game. And that was before the injury. He wasn't having a good season, period.
I remember the game against Miami. I've brought this up a couple of times. I remember the game against Miami. That dreadful.
He got torched a million times.
My double Monday Night Football doubleheader. The Titans were relegated to the second game. Only those of us who had to watch it, or if you have friends or family, you know, if the friends and family of the Titans and Dolphins players, right? There were a couple of throws that Tyler Huntley made toward Tyreek Hill. If it was Tua or any other competent quarterback making those throws to Tyreek Hill, they would have been deep touchdowns. Hill burned Snead at least a couple of times, if I recall that dreadful game correctly.
Well, listen, it's hard enough going out there and going against starting receivers. But I'm sure it's equally as hard trying to go against Tyreek Hill and trying to stop him. But even with that, because I go back to when he was in Kansas City, he did a great job on Tyreek Hill and stopping him. So it's not like to say, I'm not saying it can't be done. It can be done. But what I saw last year was a shell of what he was. And this was before the injury.
And I want to say that he was playing through a hamstring or something.
He could have been.
A groin. Like, I feel like he was on the injury report. Maybe we can find that. But
I feel like we need a bingo card for all of these injuries.
Right. But the bottom line is he never looked like the guy they thought they were trading for. Not for a second, really, when you get down to it. And as far as they're playing for the jobs and everything like that, Borgonzi can honestly say, look, I didn't make that move. I wasn't involved in it. Now, the Brinker has to answer for that because he was there.
Well, Borgonzi was involved on the other side.
Exactly. Right. But that's the unique part of this is Borgonzi knows what Snead looks like when he's right. Like, he obviously has been a very good player. The just Titans have not seen that player, and there's so many things lined up against him. You have to proceed as if you're not going to get anything from him. If you get it, great. I agree with the call. If you get something that looks close to what he was in Kansas City, all the better. But I can't count on it, though.
I'm blaming Borgonzi because he knew good and well what he sold us, okay? So I'm blaming him because of that. He knew good and well he sold a guy that was dealing with an injury, and he duped us. Got us. And now he's here. So, yes, I blame Borgonzi as well. But I would love to see something out of Snead this year. I really would, because if that happens, I think it helps the defensive line. if you got a guy out there that can cover, you know, another team's number one receiver and doesn't need much help. But Snead's not there yet. And I'm not sure it – based upon what I've seen last year in the injury history he's been dealing with since he's been – I'm not even talking about the Kansas City stuff. Since he's been here, I'm not sure – if he's going to be able to give what the Titans thought he was going to be able to give when they brought him in.
And they have to be realistic about that. I do think he will play.
Yeah.
He's going to try to play. I just don't think we can get our hopes up that he's going to look like the guy he did. He's getting pretty far removed from that period, and he's not getting any younger. But we'll see. Crazy things happen.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will continue to take your thoughts on L'Jarius Sneed, who is off the PUP list and back on the practice field, albeit in a limited capacity, for the Tennessee Titans. Coming up next, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us. We'll get his thoughts on L'Jarius Sneed and the other noteworthy things that have happened in Titans land recently, perhaps a kerfuffle or two. We will discuss that with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. But before we get to Hutton, let's give away some tickets. If you want to attend the Mexican national team's game against Korea Republic at Geodis Park on Tuesday, September 9th, be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. Again, a 4-pack of tickets to see the Mexican national team face off against Korea Republic at Geodis Park on Tuesday, September 9th. They can be yours if you are caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.